Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you on this humid, rainy day. But the Lord knows we need rain too, don't he?
Yeah.
I'm glad he sends it. It's good to see all of you. I hope everyone had a good 4th of July celebration. It's good to be here to worship today. So before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. You see Mondays 9 to 12, the Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. And on Thursday the 10th at 10 a.m. Bible study. The 15th on Tuesday, packing food bags at Deep Run First Baptist, if you'd like to help, let Johnny know. July the 14th through the 19th will be the week our youth have gone to Cragmont. Remember that them. And Sunday, July the 20th at 4, the Ladies Auxiliary will meet. And then on the 27th, we'll have graduation Sunday. Everybody checked out the website. It's listed in the bulletin how to get there, so you can check that out. Are there any other announcements?
Deacons meeting on Tuesday the
8th. Tuesday at 6 o'clock, deacons will meet the 8th. That's this Tuesday. It's Tuesday coming. All right. Any others? All right. Let's stand together and begin worship as we read the responsive reading together. Holy God, we gather today to worship you who created us.
You have called us.
You have equipped us.
You love us without you.
With joyful hearts, let us worship God.
God.
Father, it's just a privilege and honor to be able to come here and gather with your children and worship you today. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who's in our midst. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move and anoint us and bless us, continue to equip us to be the person you've created us to be. May our worship today as we look to you be in truth and understanding and wisdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, turn to 399 and let's sing We Are God's People, verses 1, 3, and 4. 399. Linda Fay has our scripture reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament reading comes today from the book of Psalms, and it's chapter 66, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 9. And this is a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving to God. Praise to God for his awesome works that he does for us. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to the Lord, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises of your name. Come and see what the Lord has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land, passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch over the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against the Lord. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives, and he has kept our feet from slipping. Okay, we're going to look at New Testament reading scripture. Comes from Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be reading the first 10 verses. This is talking about how we need to bear and share one another's burdens. And in this letter that Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, we harvest what we plant. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Watch yourselves, or you also will be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they will take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each other should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all peoples, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we pray this morning, are there any needs we need to remember? I know we need to remember the folks down in Texas and the flood, and it's terrible. Any others?
Pray for our country, pray for our leaders.
Yes.
Pray for the world.
Yes.
Our belief. Pray for Marie.
Okay.
Yes.
Any others? All right. So remember these needs, and certainly as you pray during the week, remember the needs is on the back of the bulletin. Lift those in prayer. Pray for one another. Thank God for his blessings. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this rainy Sunday.
But Lord, we're just so thankful for all the blessings that you give us, the rain, the sunshine. Each and every day is a blessing, Lord. You're a good and gracious, merciful God, Lord, and you're a healer. And Lord, we lift up the names that were mentioned today and those that were not. I pray a blessing of healing upon their lives, comfort, give them peace, do as your will would be done, Lord. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that it fills this place today. I pray that it fills us with compassion, with love, and doing the work of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that we will listen to your word. We will read your word so that we can obey your word. And we can experience your power in our lives, Lord. Help us to build each other up. Help us to build your kingdom here on earth. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Stand and let's sing hymn 353, Victory in Jesus, verses 1 through 3.
Victory in Jesus, I say. We pray these offerings will be used to uplift and help do thy kingdom's work, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Scripture lesson text this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verses 13 through 16. Paul writing here to the church in Ephesus. This is what he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, to make it short, Paul's talking about spiritual maturity. Okay? So that's what we want to focus on this morning. I think most of us are familiar with the fact that children have a pattern of development that can be observed. And if you've raised children yourself or if you're a teacher, you probably notice that children go from one stage to another in a fairly normal pattern until they reach maturity. Now, some would say you never stop growing, and I guess there's a lot of truth to that, but I think most would agree that the formative and early years in a person's life are the times when the changes are most critical and noticeable. Studies in human development have helped us to describe certain key stages in a child's growth. These provide assistance for the ones who are slow in the process, or it stimulates others who seem to be progressing at a much faster rate. I say all of this because I'd like to make a comparison this morning. Of course, now I'm not a child psychologist or an expert to be able to give a competent lesson on the particular stages of development of children, but I think I'm qualified to talk about what Paul is talking about here this morning, spiritual growth. And I'd like to share with you what the Bible describes as the normal pattern of growth for a healthy Christian life. Will that be helpful this morning?
Yes.
All right. So, I know when it comes to children, no two children are alike. They're unique, each with special gifts and abilities, as well as weaknesses and challenges which need to be addressed or overcome. And the same is true with Christians. Some of us have challenges that need to be overcome. We're all in that boat, aren't we? But it's the same with Christians. No two are the same. Some Christians grow up in Christian families and they learn the Christian life from the time they're born and until they go home to meet the Lord. Others become Christians maybe after they become adults, even later in life. So there's different groups of Christians and when it comes to spiritual development. Each person has emotional, social, and spiritual baggage that they bring into the life as a disciple of Christ. And just as in the development of a child, there comes a time where each has to attain a certain level of intellectual and social skills regardless of their background. There comes a time in every Christian's life, regardless of their history, where certain abilities and levels of maturity need to be acquired if a proper rate of growth and spiritual health is to be maintained. Of course, with children, their growth rate curves in years. They read and write by this age, and they have certain social skills by another age, or the ability to handle advanced material and ideas by another age. But with Christians, on the other hand, because they're converted at different ages, the growth curve is measured less by years and more by character. Does that make sense? We're not judging our maturity based on how old we are. The Bible instructs us that we look at our character if we want to know if we're mature. And in the scripture we read, what is our goal? To be just like Christ. That is the measure that we measure ourselves by. We don't measure ourselves against other Christians or other churches or other groups. Or we measure ourselves up against the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, in other words, we can tell if a person's experiencing a normal pattern of spiritual growth if the following elements begin to appear in their character. I'm going to look at three stages briefly this morning. And it's not really anything new. I mean, and it's practical and it's fairly simple when we understand it and apply it. So the first stage is obedience. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus' commission to his disciples was to go and make disciples and to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given to you. And he said, be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So in his instructions to the apostles about their task of spreading the gospel and making disciples, one of the first things Jesus instructed them to teach was obedience. And that's important because no further growth in Christ is possible without obedience. Our spiritual maturity begins with the first step of obedience that we take when we obey the gospel. We're told to repent and to be baptized. And that's the first step, the first true act of obedience. And notice, that's not the last. A lot of people think that if I'm baptized and I join a church, that's it. No, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of spiritual maturity. It's one of the first true acts of obedience. Some people might think that faith is the first stage of Christian growth. And in a way it is, but faith is still born without obedience. Because without obedience, faith has not been fully realized. James reminds us of this in James 2:18. He says, "You show me your faith without works." He said, "I'm going to show you my faith by works." So obedience is the visible sign that your faith is legitimate, that it's sincere, that it's operational, that it's effective. We can always tell by obedience who has reached and mastered the first level of Christian growth. It's by obedience that we see, obedience to the Lord, we see in our lives in matters of personal conduct. We conduct ourselves in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. Obedience to the Word in our response to the world and when we're under pressure to conform to it. The world can put a lot of pressure on us. And it's important that we're obedient to the way Christ tells us to deal with that and how we should present ourselves to those in the world who are outside of the faith. And then there's obedience in matters of faithful worship and Bible study and fellowship. And that's one of the reasons we should carefully track regular attendance to Bible study and worship in our church, because neglecting this area is a sure sign of spiritual weakness and falling away. I mean, think about it. If a person can barely manage to handle, a simple thing like being a part of worship and Bible study, I mean, these are elementary level Christianity. How we'll be able to handle the most difficult and challenging things that will come in our lives when we leave worship and go out into the world where we're to shine for Christ. If we can't even come to church regularly, do you really think your faith will be able to handle the pressures that are out there in our world today? So it's important that we understand that the first stage of Christian growth is obedience. And not just obeying the Lord, but truly desiring to do His will in every situation that we face in life. Because the Lord has an answer and a way for us to go in every situation that we face. You know that you've arrived and surpassed the first level of spiritual maturity when knowing and doing the will of the Lord is a priority in your life. Obedience is the first stage. The next stage in spiritual development would be service. Paul reminds us that we're not to be like children tossed here and there and carried around by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming, but we're to speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects unto Him who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now that's a lot, isn't it? And you know, Paul, he's good for that. He gives you something to chew on for a while. But notice how he ends that there. Causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And that's what service is about. It's about serving one another and building up each other in love. Spiritual maturity begins by discipling ourselves to obey the Lord and His Word so that the Holy Spirit can fill us and help us rule over our fleshly weaknesses and desires. Satan uses our flesh to deceive us and to cause us to think emotional and not practical when it comes to applying the Word of God. And spiritual maturity is needed in the life of a Christian, as well as in the life of children. As the Spirit helps us to rule over our fleshly desires, we soon realize that this is only preparation for the next stage in development, which is service to the Lord and to His kingdom. And learning and practicing obedience is kind of like a spiritual boot camp. Eventually, we're trained enough, we have enough knowledge enough that we can go and join in the battle for saving souls. Because, I mean, really, everything that we're about is helping people find and follow Jesus. That's our goal, isn't it? And so eventually, as we're practicing obedience, we eventually realize that we've been saved, not for ourselves, but we're saved to serve and to serve others. Not just saved in order to improve our morals or our character, but we're being saved that we can show the world what Jesus is really like. Paul summarized this in 2 Timothy 3:15 to 16. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And we know what righteousness is, don't we? God is righteous, which means He never does anything wrong. Everything He does is right. And that should be our goal. You know, because our mistakes can be costly, can't they? And, you know, our sins can really set us back when it comes to growing in the faith and maturing to be a person who looks like Jesus Christ. And so, notice the pattern here for Timothy. First of all, he learns the Word of God. And as he learns the Word of God, that brings him to obedience. He is obedient to Christ, and he is saved. That's for his salvation. And then second thing is, through the Word, he's trained to know and to prove what is good. That's why it's important to know God's Word and to be obedient to it. As we are obedient to God's Word, we are proving that His Word is good and right and righteous and is true and godly. And then finally, he is trained for good works or for service. And this is the point where, as Christians, we begin to get our eyes off of ourselves and begin to see and to feel a responsibility for others around us, in and out of the church. I mean, because if you look at the life of Christ, that's what he did. He didn't go around promoting himself. He went around promoting God and promoting loving your neighbor as yourself and serving one another. So it's important that we learn to get our eyes off ourselves and begin to learn to serve. And this usually starts with small things, like acts of service that can be done. We get together to worship or to study. Eventually it grows to a point where we seek the Lord in prayer for our own particular ministry. Because we all bring something to the table when it comes to building the kingdom of God. And God wants to take that and He wants to use that. He wants to use it to bless the life of someone else. And so we get to that point where we seek the Lord in prayer for our own particular ministry, a way which we can use our skills and the spiritual gifts that God has given to us to help people find and follow Jesus and to build the kingdom of God. And the truth is that when we actively engage in serving and supporting others, the issues relating to obedience begin to diminish. Does that make sense? As we're serving and ministering to others, the issues relating to obedience tend to diminish. Of course, there are always challenges to overcome and test our faithfulness. But once you've reached a spiritual maturity where serving is your focus, the challenges of obedience are fewer and easier to handle. So stage one is obedience to God. Stage two is service. And then the third thing is stage three, love. The truth is, once you're committed to obedience to God's word and you're involved in service, your character will begin to change because of the various challenges that you faced. And ultimately what's happening is God is shaping you to reflect His Son with love as the central trait. Jesus established this ultimate spiritual goal by His own example and His teaching. He tells us in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. Serving others. Jesus taught the principle and He lived it. And He also passed it along to His disciples as the objective for them to apply in their spiritual lives. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And notice what He said in verse 35. He says, By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How does the world know if we're spiritually mature? How does the world know if we're obedient to Christ? It's by the love that we have for one another. That's kind of a tall order, isn't it? Sometimes we're not lovable, are we? Once in a while, anyhow, right? You know, and sometimes it's hard to love our neighbor, isn't it? And that's the flesh in us, you see. That's our fleshly desire. We want to be the center of attention, and we want to give our neighbor the attention. We don't want to shower the love of Christ upon them because we want to be showered on. But the important thing to remember is that the stage 3 process of spiritual maturity is being able to love one another just as Christ has loved us. And I tell you, when He died on the cross, He weren't looking at the good things in our life, because there's not a lot there at times, is there? I mean, we think bad thoughts, we say bad things, we do bad things, we're sorry for it, and then we do it again. And He knew that on the cross, but He loved us, and He proved His love. And He expects us to love one another. He expects us to understand that we're sinners, and we need loving. Matter of fact, we need the devil loved out of us, you know? If we can love the devil out of us, we'll be doing some loving, won't we? Amen. So in the mature Christian, we can actually see obedience born out of love for God. You know, some people come to God out of fear or guilt. And I've known preachers, you know, and to preach and try to make people feel emotional things about fear and guilt as a reason of coming to God. But I don't want people to come to God because they're scared of Him. I want people to come to God because of His love. And how much He loves us, how much He wants to fix us when we break. And how much He wants to hold us together when we're falling apart. And how much He wants to give us strength when we're weak. And how much He wants to give us help whenever we're sick. Because God has promised us good and perfect gifts. And that's why we should want to come and serve Him. Not because we're scared of Him. Or not because we're guilty. But we want to come to God because we love Him. We have a love for God. We can see effective and dynamic service based on a sincere love of the church. The love for the lost, and a love for giving oneself to God. These are traits of a mature Christian. Love for the church, love for the lost, love for bringing others to Christ. And finally, in the spiritual mature men and women of God, we can see Christ in our words, in our reactions, in our approach to things, and our willingness to seek after the good of others, and not just our own selfish desires. John said, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that hits home right there, don't it? Love is very important, and it is an important part of being a mature Christian. It can be said that the mature Christian, the one who has grown up fully in Christ, that they truly know God because they have mastered the art of Christian love. When you see people loving others and giving of themselves to serve others, you can see someone who truly knows God. Everything we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. And we give it our best because we love them. Because Christ loves us. So in summary, as we close, I encourage us this morning to measure ourselves. And honestly determine where we're at in the process of Christian maturity and growth. And just as we can measure a young child's progress as they grow through life, we can measure our process of Christian growth. And in order to have proper spiritual development, we need to know the stages we're at so we can measure where we are. We must also consciously be moving from one stage to the other. Imagine how boring and confining it would be to be in kindergarten when you're 18 years old. Well, that's what we do when we remain at the learning stage. You know, a lot of people who follow Jesus, they're just happy being at the learning stage. Just give me a little more knowledge, and that's as far as it goes. There's never any obedience to it. They're in the learning stage. They never apply it. And so we can't stay there. We have to move on to the next stage. You know, when we just stay at that learning stage, you know, church gets boring. And before long, the world and sin begin to look appealing. And this is because we're stuck at the elementary stage of Christianity for so long that we become bored with it. We just get tired of doing it. Church, we must learn to obey the Lord. We must become focused on being faithful to Him without being wishy-washy and double-minded. We must then move on to the next and the more satisfying level, which is service in His kingdom. I tell you, as we serve others, we're blessed. And as we learn to serve and minister to others, we finally begin to experience the great rewards that come from cultivating a loving, Christ-like character in our lives. And I repeat, again, we must measure and take stock and look at the mirror of God's Word and see exactly where we are. This morning, is it time for you to obey the Lord, whether it's through repentance and baptism or being restored or simply making up your mind once and for all to each day do your best to be obedient to Christ? If so, then do it. If on the other hand, you've gotten the hang of the Christian thing and you've been training for a long time, then find some way to serve someone. Volunteer or sign up when the opportunity is given. But more importantly, keep your eyes open for an opportunity to serve others as the Holy Spirit leads the way. The Holy Spirit's real. The Holy Spirit, not only works in our lives, but He works in the life of unbelievers. And there are times when God can use us to minister to them and help them find and follow Jesus, which is what we're all about. So obedience, service, and love. These are the three stages. These are the objectives we need to strive for to complete our spiritual growth. And make no mistake, each of us must develop along these lines. I must do it, and you must do it. There's no one who is exempt. And there is no other way. And remember this. Remember Jesus' promise. What did He say? I'm with you. Isn't that good? Isn't that comforting to know that as we're growing and maturing spiritually, that Christ is right there with us? Father, we thank you today for your word and the promise that you've made to us, the goals that you've set for us, to be obedient, to serve one another, and to love one another. Help us in these objectives that we need to strive for to complete our Christian growth. Lord, we just want to mature and to be that type of believer and disciple that when those outside of Christ see us, they can say, there sure is a person who believes in God because of the way they obey and serve and love. May your Spirit rest upon us in these words as they come into our lives. Bear fruit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn 235. Take the name of Jesus with you. 235, verses 3 and 4. Worship with you today, and I pray God's Spirit has touched you in some way, strengthened you, and given you clarity, and God's blessings be upon you all. Remember the announcements. Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, but General Board will be on the 13th, right? That's next Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. That'll be at 5 o'clock, and don't forget the deacons will meet Tuesday evening at 6. Are there any other announcements, anything anyone would like to say before we leave? All right, Jerry, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we're so thankful for this day. Father, I'm so thankful for the message that you have laid on Joe's heart that he pulled out of your words. Showed us a pathway that you have put together, Father, for us to go and to live and to be as close like you as we can, Father, to be true believers, that can make a difference here helping you build your kingdom, Father, here on the earth that you created. I'm so thankful for that and the other way that he just displayed that. Touched me so much, Father. We thank you for your Spirit that guides us, guides others to us, that we can unite together and lift each other up, Father. Just thank you for that. I thank you for this week that you've given us. I ask you to please be with us this coming week, Father, that we just look out at each other and try to lift and build what you truly want. Father, we ask all this in your name, Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.